This is a very different Christmas than I used to have when I was your age, when I was young. It was always a time of parties. I didn't know there was a God. I never really realized there was a God that I had to have anything to do with until I was about 20 years of age. I just lived my life. I only went to church very, very seldom. And what happened was somebody took it on their heart to pray that I become a Christian. Some people I didn't know, and they really prayed and they fasted and they cried out to God. And when I, now that I'm an older man, that's more than half a century ago since that happened, I realized that it was God's plan to bring me to Himself. It was in His heart. And I believe that there's someone here today, and you are in God's heart. You're in His heart. Because, you know, it is extraordinary, as I've studied the Bible, and I can't explain it. Very few can, and this is not the time to bring up the subject, really. But before He made the world, the Bible clearly teaches God had us in His heart. Now, I don't understand that, but it was there. And today, as I read to you from the Scriptures, I want to read to you about God's presence. This is now, when we celebrate, we give presents. Little children love to get a present. Some of us get big ones, some of us get small ones. I remember one Christmas long ago, I was thinking about it this morning, my present was an orange and a ballpoint pen. That was my present. Not very much, really. But times have changed, of course. And as I read the Scriptures to you today, I want you to understand that as far as I'm concerned, this is not a meeting. This is not a church. I want to talk to you the same as I would talk to you if you were in my home. I want to speak to you from this book, the way this book has spoken to me. I want you to see it. I'm not trying to give you a lecture. I'm not trying to talk you into something. If I could talk you into it, a better speaker could talk you out of it. There are things that are so deep in men and women's lives that there's nothing can change you unless God does it. Nobody else can do it. You can't change yourself. How many times, you know, some men, they're so wicked and evil, and then they get a granddaughter. A granddaughter. For years they've been going on in their sin. Then they get a granddaughter. And they just change. They just love that little baby so much. They kind of realize, well, I don't want to be that kind of man. But it doesn't last. It doesn't last. The little girl grows up and the sin comes back. Because you can't get it out of your heart unless God does something about it. And today, I want God to speak to you. I want God to come near you. Not, He doesn't do what I tell Him. He comes to you because He loves you so deeply and so much. And today I'm going to read to you from the Gospel of Luke. You know, Luke was a doctor. And what Luke does, he wrote the Gospel and the Book of Acts. And you'll discover that Luke was a man who sorted things out. He went and found out what's the truth. What happened here? And so he gives us a wonderful account of the birth of Jesus Christ into this world. God's present. God's present. Hundreds of years before, God had promised that Jesus would come. Hundreds of years before, He had said that He would come. A child would be born, a son would be given. an extraordinary thing would happen. A virgin would have a child. Extraordinary. The philosophers and the religious people reading in that prophecy of Isaiah could not understand it. I mean, here's a question. How does a virgin have a child? How does a virgin have a child? When the angel came to Mary and said to her, a child is going to be born of you, the first thing she said was, well, how can that be? Because I don't know a man. I don't know anything about men, so how can I possibly be having a child? And the angel said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you, and that holy thing which is born of you will be called the Son of God. And she had this child. Joseph, she was engaged to Joseph. When Joseph found out that she was pregnant, he immediately tried to put her away. He said, I'm going to put her away privately. I'm going to have nothing to do with it. But the angel spoke to him too. Don't be afraid to take Mary to yourself, because that thing which is born in her is of God. And so he took her. Now I want to say a little word to you today from the Word. It's Luke chapter 2, verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, that was in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know what happened? She sang to Joseph, the baby's coming. And he rushes to the inn and he knocks on the door. My wife is not his wife, but you understand me. She's going to have a baby. Well, she was his wife, but he had never slept with her. She's going to have a baby. There's no room here. Try down the road. So he goes down there, and him, the woman, and the little donkey. And finally, there's no room in that inn. And then the man, and I want to ask you today, as I talk to you about God's presence, is there room in your life for Him? Is there room in your heart for Him? When I was a young man, I believed that nobody in this world loved me. That's what I believe. I wasn't brought up by my parents. I was brought up in a hospital. And I believed that nobody in this world loved me. Nobody told me that God loved me. Nobody. Until one night in 1956, this woman who had been talking to me, she said to me, God loves you. And I said to her, if God loves me, He's the only one in this world who loves me. That was the night I got saved. Is there room for Him in your heart? Do you have any room for Jesus? You know more than me. You've heard more than me. You understand more than I did. Is there room for Jesus in your heart? Now, if Jesus is going to come into the stable and going to be born there, what's the first thing that Joseph's going to do? He's going to clean it up. The baby can't be born among the manure. The baby can't be born among the filth. He gets some fresh hay. He cleans it up as best as he can. He cleans it up. You want Jesus in your heart? He's going to have to clean it up. It's going to have to be cleaned up. Now, some of you say that you follow Christ. Some of you say that He's in your heart. But your heart is filthy and dirty, and your life is a story of failure, of failure, of failure. It's because you didn't clean it up. You've got to clean it up if you want Him to be born there. So he cleaned it up. There was room in this stable. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and I would be too. Look at this wonderful thing that's happening. All heaven is looking. Heaven's on the move. An angel speaks to Joseph, an angel speaks to Mary, an angel speaks to Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now angels are talking to shepherds, keeping watch. Here's a question for you. Why didn't the angel speak to the religious Pharisees? Why didn't he speak to the Pharisees? Why didn't he talk to them? Because they didn't need Jesus. They had their religion. They had their own religion. They thought they knew God. Let me ask you a very simple question. You have your own religion. Let me ask you a question. Does your religion save you from your sin? Or does it make a cloak for your sin? Have you been saved from your sins? The angel said, "You will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Not in their sins, from their sins. You know why some are not saved? It's because they try and hang on to their sin, and they want Jesus at the same time. Who wants to go to hell? Who wants to go to hell? Friend, I've got bad news. You can't go to heaven with sin in your heart that should take you to hell just because you've got a name to say to somebody at the door that you know the name of Jesus. If you haven't been saved from your sins, you're not ready for heaven. If you haven't turned away from your darkness, you are not ready for heaven. Jesus said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Evil. If God let you into heaven the way you are, some of you would turn it into a hell. Because you would start doing the things you're doing now. And you can't do it. So why didn't the angels come to the religious people? Well, they were too busy believing they were right. They were too busy praying their Pharisaical prayers to God. And God, even if he wanted to, couldn't get their attention. Friends, the angels had to go out into the countryside and talk to some shepherds. Why do you suppose they talked to shepherds? Well, I can give you one reason. Shepherds are honest. They're honest. They'll tell you the truth. They'll say the truth to each other. They'll say, "Now that's not true." And there's a caring about them. So the shepherds are there. And the angel says to the shepherds in verse 10, "Fear not. Fear not." Did you know that so often when Jesus spoke, even after he rose again from the dead, the first words he said were, "Fear not. Fear not." We are living in a world that is laced with fear. Fear of death. Fear of consequence. Fear of sickness. Fear of slander. Fear of hatred. Fear that we'll lose something. We're going to lose anyway. Fear. Fear she doesn't love me. Fear he doesn't care about me. Fear that he doesn't love the children. Fear. Well, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. God wants everybody in this world to know this message. God wants everybody all people, everybody. Doesn't matter what the color of your skin is, doesn't matter where you were born. He wants everybody to know. This is to all people. You know, it's true. We're very limited. We can't give a present to everybody. I remember for 3 years, every Christmas, I gave a present to the Ethiopian children that I knew. There were a lot of them. And it started because I could see their little eyes when they were seeing people getting presents, and they could see these things. And some of them didn't have fathers, and some didn't have mothers, and all of them had no money. And so it just came into my heart. And so I went out and I bought a present for every child. A girl was at my home the other day. She's about 21 years old now. And she said to me, when I was a little girl, I came to this house and we had a party and you gave me a present. I said, what did I give you? She said, you gave me a little teddy bear, and when you squeeze its paw, it speaks. And I was trying to be clever. I said, have you still got it? She said, yes, I have. I expected her to say no. But anyway, I would give everybody a present. And they were good presents. For 3 years I did that, because every child loves to have a present. I had to stop because I ran out of energy and money. The last time I did it, it cost $1,000. But everybody wants a present. You can't give it to everybody. Always there's a headache. A child comes, you don't expect them to be there. You've got to run around and find something to give to that child, and you hope, like anything, you tear the label off and put a different name on it. Yeah. You hope that kid doesn't turn up. God doesn't have that problem, because God's present is for everybody. It is for everybody. For everybody. When I was a young man, it did come into my heart one day that I should go to a church. So I got all dressed up, polished my shoes, polished my hair, cleaned my face, did everything, got on my horse, and I went to the place where they were having this Sunday worship service. I sat on the horse outside the door. There was no one at the door. You should always have someone on the door in a church. Nobody at the door. And then I began to, as I listened to this beautiful singing, I thought to myself, I'm not good enough to go in there. I'm not good enough. So I rode the 5 miles home, and I didn't go, and my father laughed at me. But do you know, tell you something, God has come, Jesus has been sent to the good and the bad and the ugly. He has been sent for the worst. Yes, these religious people, he died for them too. Yes, he came. He came to be the Savior of all men. When a man is living in adultery and fornication and drunkenness and evil and violence and darkness in his heart, he believes God would never take him. God will. God is for everybody. God will. And God will only ask that man to do one thing. He'll say to him, I want you to come to me, and I want you never to do those things again. You have to quit. And if you don't want to quit, don't come. If you want to carry on, leave me alone. Don't drag my name down into your dirt. He comes for fearful. He comes for the young. And he comes for the old. I have seen people that are so old, if you wanted to be funny, you'd say they had one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana skin. They were so old, but they came to Jesus and he took them. He took them. He took them to his heart. Because you know what? You know what the secret of all this is? He died for all. He died for all. Paul said he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. God's present came to the shepherds. Don't be afraid, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And I love this part. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. I've always thought about it like this. These angels are watching from heaven. That's, you know, this Bible is very good. Suddenly, it's like they were watching all this. They were watching these shepherds, and they were watching the angels talking to the shepherds. And suddenly they couldn't keep themselves back any longer. They started singing. Glory to God in the highest. A multitude of angels. Now I would say to you, all of heaven is interested in the present. But as the earth, have we got peace and goodwill toward men? I was telling Tony, as he brought me to the service today, that there are more people being killed right now for Jesus Christ than any other time in church history. There are more people being killed in the world today than were killed by the Romans. More. A lot of Christians are dying. They were dying in Nigeria last week. All over the place, Christians are dying. Why is this happening? Because people will not accept God's peace. If you're another religion and you want to kill a man that's not your religion, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? If somebody came to me and said, listen, Barry, can you tell me just in one sentence, for example, because this is one of the fastest growing religions in the world, what's the difference between Islam and Christianity? I would tell you very simply. Muhammad said to his followers, here's a sword, kill your enemies. Jesus said to his followers, here's a word, pray for your enemies. Bless them. Forgive them. And he proved it when he was on that cross. They're nailing him to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what he did. He said he prayed for the people who were nailing him to the cross, that God would forgive them for what they are doing. I'd love you to follow a Savior like that. Glory to God in the highest. And the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. In another gospel it said they left their flocks. They left their flocks. You know enough about shepherds to know they don't leave their flocks. These ones did. Because they found something so amazing and so wonderful. They said, we've got to go and see this great thing. A Savior. I do not believe there's a man or a woman here today that doesn't want a Savior. You want a Savior? You want a Savior? Of course you do. But there's a problem. Your sin is the problem. You want a Savior, but you still want your sin. And you can't have both. You can't have both. It costs something to be a young person and live clean. It costs something. It costs the sneers of their friends, all kinds of things said against the girl who'll try and will live clean. But she'll never regret it. She'll never regret those times when she was crying on her bed and couldn't go out with her friends because they were doing things she knew she couldn't do. But she will never regret it. And the young man who keeps himself clean, why do you suppose? Let me talk bluntly to you. Why do you suppose that a young man will marry a young woman that he loves, but he won't be faithful to her? Why do you think that is? He loves her with all his heart. I'll tell you why. Because before he met her, he was playing around with other girls. And all he ever knew was lust. All he ever knew was take. All he ever knew was to get what he wanted and then walk away. But now here's a woman, and to her he should give. And she doesn't have lust in her heart. She has love in her heart. And she wants to share her whole self with him. And he knows nothing about it, and he won't be able to be there very long unless he becomes clean and pure like her. Then he will get a satisfaction with one woman, and he will faithfully love her. But young people, I warn you, if you are going to play around with sin, sin was not going to play with you. The wages of sin is death. I could stand here for an hour and talk to you about Satan's present. What does he give you for Christmas? I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to let him spoil my message. But you know as well as I do, he's a liar. He's a liar. He said to our first mother, you mean God said you shall not surely die? From the moment she ate that fruit, I'm telling you, she began to die. She began to die. And there's nothing that you can say, nothing that you can do, if you will not let your sin go, Jesus can't be your Savior. He can't be your Savior. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Are you free? Are you free? Are you living in the daylight or the twilight or the midnight? Where do you live? Are you free? Have you God's freedom in your heart? Have you got God's peace? Unto you is born a Savior. A Savior. The Savior saves from sin. Now I know a little bit about this. Friends, I want to tell you from personal experience. There is no doctor. There is no medicine. There is no love that can stop you from sinning in your heart. Only God can do it. Only God can do it. Nobody else can do it. Doesn't matter how much you love her, you won't stop sinning for her. Doesn't matter how much you love your children, what father wants to sin in front of his children? What father? But you will one day, because sin is stronger in you than your love for your children. It's stronger. And Jesus said, you will know the truth. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. If God today would bring your thoughts and put them on the wall, what would you do? You're the truth of your heart. He knows the truth of our hearts. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're feeling. For example, listen carefully to me. He knows the people in this congregation who believe in their heart that they know better than what I'm telling them, because they feel different about it, and you have another idea, and you look at the Bible from a different angle, and I'm saying to you with all my heart, here's a verse for you. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure. Make no mistake about it. You can fool me, and many people have fooled me. You can fool your wife, and even you can fool your children, but you cannot fool God. I can't fool God. We can't fool God. We can't fool Him. Stop trying. Turn your whole life over to Christ. Follow Him with all your heart. Tell Him the truth about yourself. Come to Him and confess your sins to Him. Forsake your sins. How many of you young children do what your parents tell you, but you do it with a rebellious spirit? You don't want to do it. Inside you're different. It's like the little boy whose father kept telling him, people were watching, and the man said to his son, sit down. And he wouldn't sit down. Sit down! And finally he sat down. And then he said to his father, I'm sitting down on the outside but not on the inside. He knew a thing about himself. Now you see, what I'm talking about here today is true all the way through. True all the way through. Stop and think about this for a minute. God trusted His Son to Mary and Joseph. Trusted them to bring up His Son. Trusted them to do the right thing. Can God trust you? Today I ask you to really seriously think about what you're hearing. Glory to God. Let us go and see. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Have you found this baby? Have you found this Christ? I have to tell you, it's not enough to find the baby, you have to find the man. And it's not enough to find the man walking the shores of Galilee. You know, how many times have I read these scriptures? How many times have I looked into the Word of God and seen that the truth of the sayings of Jesus, the things that He said, how many times? And yet you can have those sayings, and if you don't have Christ, you're lost. And you can have the words that Jesus said, but you've got to come, listen to me, you don't come to listen to Him giving the Sermon on the Mount, you come to Him at the cross where He died for you. You're no good bringing your filthy heart to the Word of God. You've got to come and get cleansed and made right by God. You've got to come and give yourself to Him and surrender your heart to Jesus at the cross. Why do you think He died so publicly? Why do you think that He suffered? He hung naked on that cross in front of the whole world. Why do you think God allowed that? Well, there are many reasons. Let me mention one or two. He wanted everybody to see how far He would go to save them. He wanted everybody to see what they were worth. If you think nobody cares about you, look at the cross. If you think you're of no value, look at the cross. If you think for 1 minute that God doesn't prize you very highly, Look at the cross. Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? What's the use of that? What's the use? You lose your soul. Have you ever come to that cross? Have you ever come to that cross? Some of you have. But you went away from the cross without getting what you came to get. You know what you must do? You must come to that cross and you must stay there until you meet him. And stay there until he changes you. Hang on to the Lord until he does for you in your heart the very thing you're longing for. He wants to save you from your sins. Let's not pretend. I and you. We cannot take any sin into heaven. You know, sometimes when you go somewhere, they check you at the door, don't they? And they say, you can't bring that in here, you can't bring that in here, and you put it on the side. They're not going to do that in heaven. You bring your whole self as you are, and if there's something that should not be there, you better get rid of it before you go near heaven. Tony and I were talking in the car, in the van coming out. And we're talking about people who come to Christ and go away without Jesus. People who don't really mean it. People who come and respond, but their heart is not responding. Their heart is not responding. You know what you have to do? You have to seek the Lord while he may be found, and you've got to seek him until he's found. You've got to cry, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. I don't want a Savior that can't save me from drunkenness or fornication. I don't want a Savior who can't save me from lying. I don't want a Savior who can't save me from evil thoughts. I don't want a Savior who can't save me from myself. What use is a Savior like that? I promise you, you put your hands into Jesus Christ's hands and he will change you. He won't change you instantly. What he'll do, he'll begin to change you, and he will begin to make you real. You will deal with the thing that's in front of you today. You'll be praying. He'll show you something else. You'll surrender it to him. You know, the difference with many of us is right here. Right here. We argue with God about the thing he wants us to give up because our hearts are not steadfast with the Lord. Not steadfast. You imagine these shepherds saying to one another, wow, those angels, they sure lit up the sky, didn't they? They woke some of the sheep up. I'm going to go tomorrow morning. I'm going to go tomorrow morning and see what they're talking about. No, they ran instantly, and that's what you have to do. You have to seek the Lord while he may be found, and you've got to call on him while he's near. Is God speaking to your heart today? Let me tell you, if he's speaking to your heart, that is a very, very precious thing. He does not speak to us every day. Let me ask you a question. When did he last speak to you? When did he? When did he face you with reality? When did you see in your heart, yes, God, I've got to do something about me. And I've got to do it at the cross. You know what I thought when that went off? And oh, what a weeping and a wailing. As the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains, and they prayed. But their prayer was too late. They wanted to be delivered. You know, Jesus was the one who uses that word wailing. You know, that's a wail. You hear it? It's wailing. That's a wail. You're going to wail one day if you leave Christ out of your life. You're going to wail. You're going to cry out louder than that. Your cry will be heard from heaven, but it will not be answered. Because God gave you a present. It's Jesus Christ. You know, I will stop preaching now, but I was going to ask you as a second part of my message, do you have a present for God? Do you have a present for God? Because the only present He wants from you is your heart. If you will give God your heart, that's enough for Him. You say, what a wonderful present. There was a man in America, a red Indian man, and he was in this big church. He was quite poor, but he lived nearby. And they were making their offerings at the end of the year to God. They had this big round thing in the front, and the people were coming forward and putting their money, and I guess it made everybody feel good. This is your gift to God. This is your thank you to God, said the pastor. And suddenly everybody noticed this man and his son walking down the aisle, walking down. They didn't have anything in their hand. And this is a true story. The boy stood in the middle of the money. And the man said, Pastor, I haven't got any money, but I'm giving God my son. I'm giving God my son. I'm not asking you to give your son, I'm asking you to give yourself. What's your present to God today? What's your present? His present was Jesus. God's present is salvation. God's present is forgiveness of sin. God's present is love everlasting. God's present is home in heaven forever. That's God's present. Now what I want to do is this. As we close the service, I want to give you an opportunity to give yourself to Christ. Just give your heart, give your life. You have power over yourself today. Use that power to give yourself to God. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm not asking you to even join this church necessarily. Wouldn't hurt you if you did. But I'm asking you to give your life to Jesus Christ and to say to Him, I'm coming to you. You came to me and I want you to save me. And He will. But if there's something in your heart you want to hang on to, please do not come. Because you're wasting your time. If there's anything you want to hang on to, stay where you are. You have to turn from all sin if you want to turn to Jesus Christ. He's not half a savior. You want to say, well, I'm going to hang on to this other thing that I've had all these years. Well, did it save you from your sins? Only Jesus can save you from sin. And He will not save you from your sins if you want Him to save you from all of them except one. This is very important. So this afternoon, as we close the service, I'm going to ask that our heads just be bowed in a moment's prayer. Let us bow in prayer. Seek the Lord with all your heart and ask Him to do something in your life. Ask Him to touch your heart. Tell Him, I'm sick of my sin. I want to be saved. I want to turn away from all this darkness. I want to be the man you want me to be. I want to be the young person who's clean. I want to live for Jesus. Heavenly Father, I just commit these dear people to you. I thank you they did listen well. I thank you, Father, you love us so much. And Father, as we bring this service to a close, we humbly ask you in Jesus' name that you would give to the people the deep love in their hearts that you gave to me, that you've promised to all, because your gifts are the same to everybody. There's only one Savior, and He died for them, and He died for me. And Father, I just commit this part to you in Jesus' name. Amen.